From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this program we call Coast to Coast AM. By the way, happy leap year day. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a moment. Later on tonight, artifacts on Mars. Looking forward to that. Here's what's happening. The craziness continues. A teenage gunman burst into the lunchroom of an Ohio school Monday morning, opened fire, wounding four students before a canine unit caught him. The shooting unfolded at the Madison Junior Senior High School in Butler County, where the 14-year-old suspect is a student. He now faces charges including attempted murder and making terrorist threats. It's not clear whether he targeted certain students or fired at random or whether they attacked him on social network. Nobody knows yet. The suspect bolted from the school after the shooting, got rid of his gun, ran into a field before the canine, that's a dog unit, the canine unit caught up with him. The investigator said he used a .380 caliber handgun. Oil has stopped crashing, perhaps. Investors around the world freaked out when oil prices plummeted to a 13-year low of $26.05 a barrel back a few weeks ago. But they're now sitting at $34 a barrel, making an incredible 30% spike in the span of just 11 days. Now, this ridiculous surge from the recent lows reflects a swing in sentiment, even if it's not a dramatic shift in the fundamentals. The world still has too much oil, and U.S. production has not slowed enough yet to ease the epic supply glut. Insults aside, the 2016 Republican presidential contenders are spending their final hours before Super Tuesday, that's tomorrow, with dueling agendas. Now, if you're Donald Trump, it's a final push to put this thing away. If you're Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz, it's doing all you can to survive to fight another day. In total, on Super Tuesday, 595 delegates are at stake across 11 states in the Republican race. Now, that's nearly half the number needed to secure the nomination. Let's check in with the expert on the human mind, Howard Bloom. Howard, I'm not going to ask for a prediction tomorrow, but, man, they are fighting like crazy, aren't they?
Well, they're fighting like crazy for a very good reason. When it comes to American politics, tomorrow could be the day the earth changed. This is shaping up to be the most consequential presidential race of our lifetime. It's an earthquake. And tomorrow, as you pointed out, is the most crucial day on the GOP side, the Republican side of things. 48% of the delegates that it takes to win are up for grabs. On the Democratic side, 36%. Of the delegates you need to win are up for grabs. And one thing is becoming obvious as can be. When it comes to the Republican side of things, Trump is ahead of Cruz and Rubio by far more than 2-1. In other words, if you add Cruz and Rubio together, they don't even come to half of what Donald Trump has. That's true in delegates, where Trump has 82 delegates to Cruz's and Rubio's combined 31. Imagine that.
I know. It's amazing.
Delegates. And when it comes to popularity, he's at 49% in the polls, and he's risen 8% in the last month. He's on the rise.
Why is he so popular, Howard? You're in New York. You're from New York. Why is he so popular?
Right, and it's the most irrational thing of all. We are sick and tired of rational politics. We are sick and tired of listening to politicians who do not speak their heart, who do not speak their mind, who certainly do not speak your mind or my mind, and speak only in terms of the various interests whose interests they are calibrating in order to get their money, in order to get their campaign contributions. You know that if you were going into politics and I was your advisor, I'd have to tell you, George, from now on you have to realize you are going to spend 60% of every day raising money. And if you don't do that, you're out of politics. You'll lose your next election. What does that mean in terms of the access that you give to people who give campaign contributions? You are owned by them. And the American public is sick and tired of it. And that's why Bernie Sanders has turned into a phenomenon. And now look, Hillary Clinton is way, way ahead of Bernie Sanders in both delegates and in terms of the national polls.
Yeah, she's going to wrap things up tomorrow, just about.
But Bernie is giving her a run for her money. For example, in Oklahoma, Sanders polled at 48% today versus Clinton's 43%.
I know.
The two outside-the-box candidates who are speaking your heart and soul, not our rational minds, not the facts, but who are speaking your heart and soul and mine, are making astonishing things happen. And the Republican Party, if Trump becomes its nominee, will be a vastly different party than the one you and I have grown up with. And one prediction in Bloomberg Views is that if Donald Trump becomes the presidential candidate for the Republicans, he will suck the working class white people out of the Democratic Party. And as a consequence, change the whole nature of the Republican Party, and at the same time, change the nature of the Democratic Party profoundly. It's an earthquake.
Tomorrow night, we've got the Merlin Project on for the first couple hours as we react to whatever happens on Super Tuesday. It's been 23 years since Deputy White House Counsel Vincent Foster was found dead in a Virginia park, setting off one of the biggest controversies of the Clinton administration. Foster, a close friend and former law partner of Hillary Clinton's, was discovered on July 20, 1993, lying in Fort Marcy Park with a fatal gunshot wound. Two investigations concluded Foster suffered a single self-inflicted wound, a simple suicide. The case closed. But now, newly discovered evidence unearthed from boxes stored deep in the National Archives lend some credence to theories about some possible foul play and cover-up that may have been hinted at least three books and countless articles. Leo Homan broke the story for WND this weekend. He's been a reporter and editor at several suburban papers in Atlanta and Charlotte, North Carolina. He is the news editor for WND.com. Leo, is this story coming back?
We hope so. We broke this story today on WND. It doesn't exactly look like the mainstream media is beating down our doors to follow up and report it themselves. But there's some pretty explosive news here.
What is some of this?
Years after the fact.
What is some of this new evidence or this piece of a puzzle?
Yeah. Basically, Ken Starr, as you know, put together this sort of blue-chip government report on the whitewater activities of the Clintons, and he also looked into the Foster death. And he put his stamp of approval on this 137-page report, and a lot of people just feel like it whitewashed the Foster death and ruled it a suicide. But there's some documents that have been found buried in the bowels of the National Archives by a couple of citizen researchers that show that Starr's chief prosecutor on this case, Mr. Miguel Rodriguez, had actually made reference in these documents two separate times, one of which is his resignation letter, to some photos of the body as it lay in the park, showing a second wound, not just to the head, but one into the right side of the neck, just below his jawline. And according to Ken Starr's report, there was no such wound. So this was pretty explosive stuff because, you know, if you committed suicide, you usually don't shoot yourself twice.
No, you don't. Has anybody found Miguel Rodriguez?
Yes, Mr. Rodriguez is he was a U.S. attorney in Sacramento, and he took some time off to do this work for Ken Starr, and then when he resigned, he went back to that job, so he's still in Sacramento. He did not respond to our requests, but the documents speak for themselves, and in fact, he did speak out in some audio tapes back in 2003, WND was the only news agency back then to report this, as far as I know, in which he called the Ken Starr investigation basically a sham that was set up from the beginning to whitewash it and term Foster's death a suicide. So, you know, this is where is the media on this story? It really is remarkable.
Well, they'll catch on eventually. Maybe too late, though, Leo.
Yeah. He actually contacted over 100 journalists, Mr. Rodriguez, at the time. And, he did extensive interviews with several newspapers, including the New York Times, and the stories were killed. The reporters were interested. They wanted to write the story, but their editors killed the stories.
Will this case be reopened, in your opinion?
No, I don't believe it will be. And we're seeing, the lack of interest even in this story that's out there today. We've gotten several calls from talk radio people like yourself who are interested, but we just don't see the mainstream media pushing it. And unless that happens, I don't foresee the case being reopened.
Are you surprised by the lack of interest?
Frankly, I am, yeah. But, certain people, I guess, when you're talking to Clintons, they have a lot of friends in powerful places in the media. So I guess maybe we shouldn't be so surprised.
Keep in touch with us on the story, Leo. Incredible. Zika has landed forcefully in America in one of the poorest, most vulnerable corners, a debt-ridden territory, lacking a functioning healthcare system, even window screens, even a spray that works against mosquitoes spreading the virus in homes, workplaces, and schools. Right now, there are 117 confirmed cases of the virus in Puerto Rico, four times the number than at the end of January. The island territory, which has a population of 3.5 million people, is by far the most affected area associated with the United States, according to Tom Friedin, the director of Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The number will almost certainly rise sharply, they say, in coming weeks, making it ever more likely that the virus will spread to the continental United States. Now, it's here now, but it hasn't spread. It's been coming in from travelers who've then come into the country. One of our highlight stories at coasttocoastam.com. Oh, look at this. The mummified body of a German adventurer has been discovered inside his abandoned yacht. The discovery came after two fishermen off the coast of the Philippines alerted authorities to a drifting vessel. The body, found slumped near the boat's radio telephone, has been identified as a 59-year-old Manfred Fritz Bajorat. Inspectors say the cause of death unclear, no signs of foul play. They say it's still a mystery. Looks like he was sleeping. He might have had a heart attack. There have been no sightings of him reported since 2009. So he's been out there floating for 6-7 years. George Kennedy, the tough guy character actor who won an Academy Award for his portrayal of a savage chain gang convict in the 1960s classic Cool Hand Luke, has died. His grandson says Kennedy died on Sunday morning of old age in Boise, Idaho. He was 91. Great actor. There's a video showing a woman dressed in white wandering around the roads at night in Mexico, scaring people. Some believe she's possessed by evil spirits. Law enforcement thinks she's on drugs, but she comes running up to cars trying to scare the living daylights out of them. So I just mentioned, today was our leap year day. Common leap year has 365 days, and a leap year has 366 days, with the extra day designated as Feb 29. A leap year occurs every 4 years to help synchronize the calendar year with the solar year, or the length of time it takes the Earth to complete its orbit about the sun, which is 365 1/4 days. The Oscars were all given out last night at the 88th Academy Awards, but despite one of the most anticipated opening monologues in years due to the diversity controversy, it turns out there is no gold, no silver, no bronze for ABC. The Oscars took a tumble this year. They hit an 8-year low and the third lowest viewership ever. What's going on in Hollywood? Well, that's one of the stories we'll talk about with Mark Dice. His latest work, The Illuminati in Hollywood, and he's next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Mark Dice is back with me, author and media analyst specializing in exposing secret societies and the power mainstream media and celebrities have on shaping our culture. His YouTube channel, by the way, has received more than 100 million views. He's been featured on a variety of television shows like Our Ancient Aliens, Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura is one of his books. The Bohemian Grove is a great seller. And, of course, the latest, The Illuminati in Hollywood. Good timing with the Oscars last night, Mark. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me. Always good to be on. It's amazing, and we can get into some of the little-known aspects of the celebrity pawns, celebrity propagandists, the CIA working with Hollywood studios to produce movies. Some of these allegations sound completely maybe ludicrous, but as we'll get into the evidence, it's irrefutable. And the closer you look, the more you see intertwined government, celebrity, Hollywood. We saw that being blurred last night. We've seen it blurred the last few years with Michelle Obama appearing at the Oscars back in 2013. Mm-hmm. She announced the Academy Award for the best film, which was Argo, about the CIA working with Hollywood. Last night, we have President Joe Biden making an appearance for a good cause to raise awareness about the plague of sexual assault, particularly right on college campuses. But it's incredible the blurring between politics and entertainment. There's almost no distinction anymore.
Well, even going back to the year of John Kennedy, Mark, how he was just enamored with Hollywood. I mean, he loved it. And his brother-in-law, Peter Lawford, of course, lived out here. And, I mean,
Ronald Reagan, we see him in the Bohemian Grove in the 1960s, photographed sitting next to Richard Nixon, admitted to be planning their future political careers. We have Arnold Schwarzenegger being introduced to the Bohemian Grove just before he announced his bid for governorship, which then he announced publicly on the Jay Leno on the Tonight Show. So it's incredible how intertwined these two seemingly different worlds have become.
Hey, before we get into the Illuminati in Hollywood and what a great story it is, I want to get your take on just what's happening with this presidential campaign this year. What do you think?
It's amazing. You know, Trump, I can understand his appeal for many people because they see the country is in financial ruin. They want a businessman to fix it. At the same time, he's made such terrible statements about people like John McCain and some handicapped folks and his stance on the Mexicans. And it's quite amazing. It's so heated. We've never seen people sending cease and desist letters to fellow candidates, I don't think. You can see the anger in their eyes. You can hear it in the American people. And it is the most interesting election of my lifetime. And I'm talking with the wisdom of the elders, and everybody is saying this is absolutely insane. The most just outrageous, unpredictable election ever.
Well, and it seems the more outrageous that Donald Trump becomes, the higher he goes in the polls.
Yeah, just when everybody thinks he's put his foot in his mouth and this is it, it doesn't seem to stop him. And I think a lot of people are just so fed up with politicians. They see the snakes that have whizzled their way into Washington under the disguise of false promises. And I think that many people don't really care what he says at this point. They want a billionaire businessman in there to try to shake Washington to its core. It's very interesting to watch. It's very scary times. And I think we're going to see it get even more heated when Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, likely the two nominees, start going face-to-face, head-to-head. It's a very interesting time.
Yeah, that really is going to be fascinating to see the establishment with Hillary, assuming she gets the nomination, and I think she will, against Donald Trump. I think he'll get the nomination, Mark, but you know what? Anything's possible. This is a weird year.
You know, I don't like to speculate on things, particularly, you know, horrific things, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do try to assassinate him because he seems unstoppable at this point. And we know, much of this audience knows, you've covered the election fraud and the just incredible maneuvering behind the scenes that go into election fraud and manipulating that system. And if Donald Trump's the nominee, the establishment's going to do everything that they can to try to stop him. They're obviously, you've been building up Marco Rubio as the preferred front runner for the Republicans since Jeb Bush just didn't have it in him. And it's going to be a very tense time until that election.
I think so, too. Definitely needs to be careful. And we're going to come back in a moment and talk about the Illuminati in Hollywood next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie, along with Mark Dice. Mark's latest work, The Illuminati in Hollywood. You know, Mark, I have long thought that the government was involved in UFO movies in Hollywood, trying to get the word out without telling us. What do you think of that?
It's a double-edged sword. There's good people in Hollywood and within government, and then there's also bad people. So you have people who I'm sure are using their knowledge and their ability to try to get the word out, perhaps Chris Carter with The X-Files, which was just revived for a brief period, as you know, based off of some very interesting facts, even basing one of the characters off of Alex Jones,
yeah.
Admittedly. So we have people that work within the system that are trying to spark conversation, trying to educate people. But at the same time, we have people who are using that very system to create very powerful propaganda designed as entertainment to push the government agenda. Take, for example, Fox's series 24,
mm-hmm.
starring Kiefer Sutherland, came out right after September 11th.
Huge success.
Very big show, and that show was very based on torturing suspects and promoting government propaganda, and even Hollywood liberal publication Variety admitted that that show carried the water for torture because it promoted torture. So did Zero Dark Thirty, a very popular film about the capture, the killing of Osama bin Laden. And in that movie, they falsely depicted that torture led to the discovery of Osama bin Laden's comet. That what totally wasn't true. So we have these very popular television shows and very popular movies that are literally promoting the most criminal and corrupt government agendas. And it's designed as entertainment, but many people, as you know, absorb that entertainment, and it literally is taken as historical fact.
Did even Elvis Presley, didn't he want to be a CIA cover or something?
That I don't know about, but there are,
I think he did.
There are some very interesting ties to actors that are actually used as CIA agents. Now, a former CIA official who spent decades in the agency came out and wrote his memoir, John Rizzo, and it's called Company Man, 30 Years in the CIA. And he wrote in there that not only will CIA operatives pose as members of a film crew if a film is being shot on location in a foreign country, but he also said that some celebrities have actually been enlisted as CIA assets through what's called the National Resource Division, which is responsible for recruiting foreign students and business people to become CIA assets. And so what happens is these actors, and perhaps even Dennis Rodman, now laugh if you will, but let me...
You know, I was just going to bring that up to you.
Now, these actors are given access to foreign leaders that no government official, no politician could even dream of, because being a celebrity opens doors, and Kim Jong-un, you know, hung out with Dennis Rodman.
Oh, he loved the guy.
Yeah, so what John Rizzo, former CIA guy of 30 years, says is that a lot of times, or sometimes, these celebrities will be approached by the CIA and then used to relay information back to the Central Intelligence Agency about what they learned when they were in the company of these world leaders, and also to attempt to try to persuade them, because perhaps Kim Jong-un may listen to a goofball like Dennis Rodman, who he sees as an idol. He may actually place more weight on what Dennis Rodman has to suggest about what he thinks is right mm-hmm. for the world versus his own advisors.
No, that is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Let's go back now to the Kennedy era, if we can, where, you know, he had this great love affair with Hollywood. He had an affair with Marilyn Monroe. How often does that get involved in politics?
Well, that was in a different time before the age of the internet, and Bill Clinton was still able to cover up a lot of his activities. But in more modern times, we're seeing such a blur between politicians, the celebrities. Celebrities obviously are used to promote certain political agendas, gun control, get out the vote. The halo effect of these people, which refers to the idea that somebody sees them as knowledgeable and an expert in a variety of fields, is obviously used for these agendas. You know, the book Illuminati in Hollywood is really more about modern times, not so much the Kennedy era.
Right.
But in terms of, let's just take, for example, somebody like Ben Affleck, who was a star of Argo back in 2012, which is the fictionalized version about how the CIA actually, used a cover story of producing a film to go over to Iran and rescue the hostages.
Right. Now, and he directed that too, didn't he?
He starred in it. I think he directed it. He was asked by the London Guardian if he thought that there were any actors moonlighting as CIA agents in Hollywood today. And he said that there probably are quite a few. And you could see the look on his face, because he's a big star working with this movie. He knows about the entertainment liaison office.
Sure.
Which you can get into in a little bit. And he said, you could see the look on his face in the interview. He said, I wouldn't be surprised at all to discover that this was extremely common. And what's interesting is he should know. And his wife, I guess his ex-wife now, Jennifer Garner, she was the star of a television show called Alias, which she played a CIA agent, and this came out right after September 11th, and she actually was consulting with the real CIA. She did a commercial for the CIA as a recruiting tool, a video that they posted on their website. So we see celebrities playing CIA agents, but may actually be CIA assets in today's modern time. This is incredible.
Mark, I'm told that some celebrities in Hollywood think I'm working with the CIA, and it's absolutely hilarious. I mean, they've told people I know George was an intelligence officer in the Navy. He knows. And I go, wait a minute. I wasn't an intelligence officer. I was a public information officer. Big difference. But it's amazing how these things have their juxtaposition.
People tend to piece things together and jump to conclusions a lot of times when they should be going down the different road. And I have the same accusations about working for the CIA, and the most recent one is that I work for NASA to allegedly cover up the, quote, truth about the flat Earth, because I did a video sort of ridiculing this popular rapper who started tweeting, quote, evidence that the Earth was flat. And so then now I am wrapped up in the flat Earth conspiracy working for NASA to hide the, quote, truth. It's a fascinating subject to get into. But I think part of the reason you were such a success is because, you know what you're talking about, and you've risen through all the misinformation to have this great platform to provide people to talk about what we're talking about now, which hardly anybody knows about the CIA Entertainment Liaison Office. And people say, what proof do you have that the CIA is working with Hollywood? Well, I will read to you right off of CIA.gov. George, this is right off of their website, and under the public affairs section,
okay.
It's called the Entertainment Liaison Office, and it says, quote, if you're part of the entertainment industry and working on a project that deals with the CIA, the agency may be able to help you. We're in a position to give greater authenticity to scripts, stories, and other products in development. That can mean answering questions, debunking myths, or arranging visits to the CIA to meet people who know intelligence.
Amazing.
It's right there on CIA.gov. And in fact, back in the 1990s, they assigned one of their agents, a man named Chase Braden, as the entertainment liaison officer to Hollywood. This is right on the website. And so he's the guy, I guess he retired, and then he was replaced with another guy in 2007 named Paul Berry. But this guy literally is given scripts from the big studios who want the CIA's help, access this. Let me just continue from their website. We can provide stock footage of locations within and around our main building. They actually provide not only the access to and information, but through the Department of Defense, they will give film crews access to jets, aircraft carriers. I mean, this is how films like Top Gun get made. You can't just go and rent an aircraft. You have to go to the Entertainment Liaison Office of the Department of Defense. There's one in the CIA and one in the Department of Defense. They all have it. And so these Hollywood producers will give their scripts, and they must give script approval to the CIA or to the Department of Defense. And so they work back and forth and make sure that it's going to be a, quote, favorable image of the military. And then they allow them, at our tax dollar expense, to use aircraft carriers, access to military bases. I mean, like Mark Wahlberg's film a couple years ago, Lone Survivor, where he played a Navy SEAL. It was actually filmed on Kirkland Air Force Base in New Mexico. I mean, and there were thousands.
And you don't just walk on, that's for sure.
Yeah, and in order to get that kind of access, they must turn script approval over. So obviously, films like Apocalypse Now, Platoon, Bourne Identity, which was about the CIA and mind control experiments, and MK Ultra, starred Matt Damon, they obviously wouldn't help with that script. They refused to help with Spy Game, which starred Robert Redford and Brad Pitt, about senior management, in the CIA doing things that a little bit unethical. And so this is kind of an open secret, but hardly anybody knows about it because it seems so hard to believe. But it's right there on the CIA's website. The Army Times has reported on this. And so for years now, I've been compiling this data and put it into this book, The Illuminati in Hollywood. I hope everybody checks it out on paperback on Amazon, or you can get it onto your tablets from any of the e-stores.
Mark, the second chapter talks about Sun Valley Conference. What is that?
The Sun Valley Conference, most of your audience is probably familiar with the Bilderberg Group.
Oh,
yeah. Bohemian Grove. But I'd like everybody to learn about the Sun Valley Conference, which is sort of like Bilderberg for media. And it happens just after Bilderberg and just before Bohemian Grove. And what it is for the last 20 years, 30 years, longer really, since 1983, I guess, a small group of elite media moguls and tech geniuses and investors meet in the small little town of Sun Valley, Idaho, to develop investment deals, do media acquisitions, and agree upon new censorship tactics, gatekeeping strategies, Orwellian terms of service for new social media. So the heads of the CIA go to this meeting. This is all, again, an open secret. I've compiled all this data. We have the head of the CIA meeting with the heads of Google, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of these top. Now it's merging with social media because the social media and the tech companies are threatening the mainstream media's monopoly. So this is a place where all of these guys meet every July to put together deals and come to a consensus about how the government and the media and social media are going to work together in coordination in terms of the censorship and the agenda and what's not going to be talked about. And this is the place where, for example, Microsoft merged with NBC. This is where they cut this deal. This is where NBC Universal and Time Warner merged into AOL Time Warner. This is where BET, Black Entertainment Television, which was created as a great outlet as an African-American channel, was then purchased by Viacom and then just turned into the worst aspect of, you know, mainstream rap and black stereotypes.
Right.
This is where it all happens. This is the Bilderberg and Bohemian Grove of media and tech, and it is just fascinating when you start looking. And it's fully admitted. I mean, the New York Times ran an article 10 years ago that says, yes, high net worth individuals, many of whom have their hands on the levers of the media and entertainment, gather in one place. Business is undoubtedly being conducted, but anything noteworthy takes place out of view. In fact, much is out of view.
Speaking of out of view, I hear rumors that you are going to be on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno I never saw you.
Yes, this was a couple years ago before he retired, and I was not scheduled to be a guest, but it kind of happened to be. I was there with some friends just in the audience, and I was chosen to ask him a question as part of one of the bits. And before the show airs, Jay comes out and says, hey, this is live to tape. If we make any mistakes, it stays in. There's no editing, et cetera, et cetera. And so part of the bit was the audience members asks him a question, and then he has these funny answers. And I was chosen, and they said, hey, you want to ask him a question? And they introduced me. I couldn't believe it was my full name. They're like, hey, Mark Dice is here, and he's got a question for Jay. And I was the, you know, the fourth or the fifth guy to ask the question.
Was it now, did they tell you what to say, or you did it on your own?
They did. Then they asked me if I would do it. So they showed me the note card, and they said, you know, this is some of the questions. Do you want to do this? And it was funny. It was just a thing about Jay, you know, have you ever been in a car commercial? You're a big car guy.
Yeah.
And then his answer was, you know, they showed a fake, you know, car commercial funny spoof that they had made. But it was very brief. They introduced me with my full name. I couldn't believe it. And I posted on social media. I said, I'm going to be on The Tonight Show, a dream come true. I've always looked up to Jay Leno as one of my favorite comedians. And when I come home later that night, they aired the show, and it just that brief 60 seconds was edited out.
The whole thing gone.
And you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't. They actually thanked me. I got my T-shirt. You know, hey, I was on The Tonight Show, and all I got is this lousy T-shirt, which is true. And I mean,
do you think they researched who you were?
Oh, absolutely. That's why they asked all the other four participants their full names and what they do. Obviously, if somebody is a controversial figure, or perhaps somebody has, you know, been charged with some serious crimes, they don't want to probably give them some airtime. So I'm sure that they went and looked me up, and they said, oh, you know what? Can't have this guy on the show.
Controversial, hot potato,
yep.
All that stuff.
And because also they used my full name. So that wasn't just Mark from San Diego. They're like, hey, we got Mark Dyson.
Well, you know we're going to edit out these 2 hours later, and you'll be... Unbelievable. Yeah, I see. I had heard you were going to be on. I didn't know it was like that, but that's bizarre that they chop you up.
Yeah, it was just a, you know, 45 seconds or 60 seconds, but they cut it out. And then what also is interesting is, you know, Jay Leno said this is live to tape, no editing, but he actually made a mistake during the monologue and he mispronounced a word. I think it was pirates, like a pirate ship, but he said pilot, like an airline pilot.
Like a pilot, yeah.
The joke, everybody still laughed. You got the producer off the scene, you know, the hype man encouraging everybody to applaud. And so after the show was done, before they let everybody leave, he redid the joke so that they could dub in his audio and correct his mistake. And so they just dubbed the audio back in. And so when you watched it, nobody really noticed it unless you knew what you were looking for. His lips didn't line up with what he was saying because they re-edited the audio. And that's how mainstream media works. And as a media analyst, I just like to uncover how this machine functions and how powerful and how deceptive it can be.
See, I'm live all the time. Mistakes are mistakes, man. They're there. You can't hide them.
You know, I don't really blame them, but that's how it works. It's just an incredibly manipulative, and for people who don't understand how it works, nobody would have really noticed any difference.
Mark, when we come back, I want to talk with you about the Church of Satan, its involvement in Hollywood. I've got to ask you about the late Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut, and we'll open up the phone lines as well. Final hour to go with Mark Dice, the Illuminati in Hollywood. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.